Hey, what's going on? Happy Monday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. This is your home for daily Reds content all spring training long. We have new episodes 7 days a week, recapping each of the Reds Cactus League games. And I'm back home from a great week down in Goodyear as part of our Chatterbox road trip. It's nice to be back in my normal setup, and hopefully the quality of the podcast will be up from here on out until opening day, which is creeping up on us. It will be officially next week. The Reds lost 4-2 to the Guardians on Sunday evening, but the news before the game was by far the bigger L on the day for the Reds. Coming up, I talked with Bryce Spalding on Sunday night about all of that. But first, I want to be sure to tell you about our proud sponsor, and that is Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production. They specialize in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. Well, TJ Friedl has a fractured wrist from attempting to make a diving catch, as we talked about on Saturday, and he will miss opening day, and he won't even have it checked again for 3 to 4 weeks. Here's what TJ Friedl and Nick Kroll had to say on Sunday evening.
We just talked with the doc and everything and looked at some of the imaging, and it's a wrist fracture. So right now it's just going to be waiting for the bone to heal. I got to be in this kind of a soft cast, and then just kind of reassess in 3 to 4 weeks and see where it's at, and see kind of where things are lining up, and then we'll get a better timetable after that. Right now, the only thing that I could really do is just let the bone heal. So I'm going to do everything on my end I can to just kind of keep the hand stable and in place, and not move it around.
You know, we'll let it heal let it heal for a couple of weeks and then see where it is, and let's start progressing him back to getting back in the big ones. We've had some internal discussions, nothing concrete just yet. We're going to have Will Benson is going to play some center field, Stuart Fairchild is going to play some center field, and we'll just have to figure out what the best options are.
Brandon Williamson got the start for the Reds against the Guardians. He struggled with his command, giving up 3 walks and allowing 4 earned runs. And even worse, he had to leave the game earlier than expected with what David Bell said was shoulder soreness. No update at the time of recording for Williamson. The rest of the Reds' pitching, however, was great. TJ Antone threw 2 perfect innings with a strikeout. Antone has not allowed an earned run over his last 4 appearances this spring. Buck Farmer and Fernando Cruz, they each threw a perfect inning, and both pitchers had 2 strikeouts. Luke Maley, his hot spring continued. He was 2-for-3 on Sunday with a home run and a double. Get this, Maley now hitting .500 with an OPS over .1600. Spencer Steer was on base twice. Jake Fraley doubled, and Jonathan India had a hit, but not much else for the Reds offense. Matt McClain and Ellie De La Cruz had rough nights. Both guys 0-for-4. Both guys had 2 strikeouts. Jamer Candelario did draw a walk, but he was 0-for-2. Now 2-for-25 this spring. That is a .080 average. Will Benson and Christian Encarnacion Strand were both 0-for-3. Will Benson had 2 strikeouts playing center field on Sunday for the Reds. All right, now to my interview with Bryce Spalding. And stick around at the end. I'll tell you about the starting pitchers for tonight's game for the Reds. All right, joined now by my guy, Bryce Spalding. Bryce covers the Reds and follows the Reds as close as anyone throughout spring training. I've been in Arizona covering the Reds, and I think Bryce probably has a better pulse on everything going on than I do. We're getting closer to opening day. Unfortunately for the Reds, it's kind of, I know G-Dub said, when it rains, it pours, and it kind of has been that way over the last week and a half with the Noelvi Marte suspension. We got some news about Brandon Williams. We'll talk about that in a second. But the big blow is TJ Friedl, a fractured wrist, going to miss at least 3 to 4 weeks. He's not going to be probably in the conversation till May. I mean, maybe if we're talking probably a rehab assignment at some point, missing that much time. So Reds going to be missing TJ Friedl. I know he's a guy that a lot of people said was the most irreplaceable player on the roster. The Reds won't have him on opening day. So, Bryce, the Reds have said it'll be a combination of Fairchild and Benson in center field. I know I'm higher on Fairchild than most people on this planet, but is that good enough to get by without Friedl?
I think that's the thing you're running into now is, like, you think about what Friedl does defensively, and he's so hard to replicate there. I think offensively, I think they'll be mostly okay. Like, I don't think they're going to take – yeah, TJ was great last year offensively, but they have pieces to replace him offensively, where his defense is so irreplaceable that they don't have another true center fielder on the roster. So that's why I think a lot of people kind of call him the most irreplaceable player. I have as well. And it is a tough blow. Thankfully it wasn't displaced. So it's going to heal on its own. It's going to be one of those things that hopefully he can come back and kind of ease his way into it, like you talked about. But yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at May, which is a really unfortunate turn of events there for our Red Legs.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, I think the defense is the biggest concern for me. I don't think they'll really skip a beat offensively. And in fact, I think have a higher ceiling offensively with a Fairchild, Benson, platoon type situation. But when you're talking about Spencer Steer playing one of the corner outfield spots, one of the reasons I was okay with that was because you had TJ Friedl to hopefully kind of massage some of that, make up for some of the lack of defense. But if you're talking an outfield of Steer, Benson, Fraley, or Steer, Fairchild, Fraley, Benson, whatever, that's a pretty rough defensive outfield.
Yeah, and it's a step back. So, I mean, I believe in Will Benson taking a step defensively. He's a good enough athlete to. He may be more comfortable in center field. Like, we don't know that. We didn't get to see that last year, obviously, with Friedl being there and kind of patrolling it all year. So some guys are more comfortable. I think even Friedl said he's less comfortable in a corner versus in center field. So, like, maybe he wouldn't grade as well defensively in a corner. So there's a lot of different factors there. Let's just hope that one of those guys can kind of hold the tide over until TJ's healthy. So That's all you're really hoping for in these kind of short-term injuries like this.
Well, if you're looking for something to be really optimistic, the Reds through April 25th, so that's the first about month of the season, they only have three road series. They're at Philadelphia, which is not a huge ballpark. At the White Sox, decent-sized ballpark. At the Mariners, pretty big ballpark. But they do have a lot of home games. It might not be the worst time, but definitely a huge loss nonetheless for the Reds, and hopefully Friedl, like you said, Bryce, this isn't something that'll take him out too long. Hopefully it doesn't take him too long to get back into game speed and back acclimated, and it's not something that kind of lingers for a large part of 2024. Let's look at kind of the roster as a whole, because we haven't talked about this a lot on Chatterbox Reds, at least over the last couple weeks. You said right before we went on, Stuart Fairchild was the 26th, fighting for the 26th man spot. Now he's pretty much cemented himself as like the 24th man on this roster. We have Nick Martini. We have Mike Ford. We have Tony Kemp. We have Josh Harrison. Maybe Bubba Thompson now, who was already reassigned to minor league camp, gets back into the conversation as a true center fielder. Personally, I would rather just go with a rough defense, because I just don't see any time I'm going to really want to use Bubba Thompson. Maybe a late game defensive replacement, but I just don't know if that's worth a roster spot, in my opinion. I'd love to see them just go with the Mashers and Martini and Ford. You know your defense is going to suck anyway, so just give me all the bats you can get. I don't mind Tony Kemp. I can live with that, but that's kind of where I'm at. Where are you at, Bryce?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think today I think you just go Martini and Ford. Like, Martini can play a corner outfield. They can both play first. Like, CES can move over to third at times. Like, yeah, your defense may take a little bit of a hit for 2 months, but, like, realistically, like, is that going to make that much of a difference? Yes, obviously you want to play great defense. Everybody wants – we probably don't focus enough on defense, but, again, it's a short-term solution. We don't need to make it a long-term problem. We don't need to make our roster worse, or maybe put yourself in a worse situation due to the fact that You're trying to fill a hole that maybe not fully be there. So, yeah, I think that Martini and Ford are probably my two favorites for this, that spot right now.
I was thinking back to last year when I was looking for tickets for opening day for the Reds and just how difficult it was to not only find tickets, but find them at a decent price without a bunch of crazy hidden fees. Well, the Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for MLB, which actually makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. My personal favorite feature of the Game Time app is their seat layout. It shows you exactly the price around the stadium in each section in a very clean, user-friendly way. They have all-in pricing. Toggling this feature shows the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guaranteed or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today, create an account, and use the code CINCY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. I know that Nick Kroll kind of made some comments that maybe they'd go out and look to add someone. I saw a lot of people saying go add JD Martinez. I just don't know if JD Martinez fixes any problem right now. If you have the money, and he's obviously an upgrade over a guy like Mike Ford, but he's not. I don't think that's a reason. The TJ Friedl injury is really a reason to go out and get someone like that. Are there really even any center field options right now left on the market? I don't really see any.
Yeah, not really. I mean, everybody wants to add like a Robbie Grossman or a Tommy Pham. And like, yeah, those guys are good hitters. Like, yeah, they probably make the Reds better in the short term. I think the one guy they probably missed out on that I think a lot of people would probably like to have right now is Michael A. Taylor, who actually signed with the Pirates. So unfortunately, he went a couple days ago. He was somebody that I think a lot of people were eyeing and thought would be a good add. Even Duvall, he can play a serviceable center fielder here or there, but I think Duvall is going to play a little bit more than we think for the Braves. So I think that's a tough opportunity for him to pass up to go play for a potential World Series contender and somebody there he's familiar with as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think I saw really good account, Gender Source Rex. He put out that Jake Mariznick was somebody that had an opt-out in his contract. He's a good defensive center fielder, hits left-handed pitching well. So, he's a kind of a Stuart Fairchild prototype, maybe a little bit worse. So he's probably honestly more like Bubba Thompson in a way, where he's a little bit better hitter, good defender, that type of thing. So there's probably options out there, but I think they seem pretty comfortable with Benson and Fairchild just kind of manning that for the time being.
Yeah, I think if this was a couple days ago and Michael Taylor was on the market, I think you try to make as big of a push as you can for a guy like him. But I think kind of your point with Duvall, you have to remember when you're trying to lure these guys to Cincinnati that are on short-term deals, not making a ton of money, they want an opportunity to play. And 5 days ago, good luck finding Michael A. Taylor a lot of playing time. Even good luck finding Adam Duvall a lot of playing time. So it takes two to tango for this. So I kind of see why. I don't know if the Reds actually pursued them at all, but I would see why they may not really have a lot of interest on their end. Let's shift gears to the starting rotation. Obviously, Brandon Williamson left injured. We don't really have any update on that other than just that he left with some soreness. I didn't anticipate that Brandon Williamson was going to make the opening day rotation, although I've said several times I think probably should be there with Andrew Abbott. I think you've said the same thing. I don't think there's a huge gap between either one of those guys. But nonetheless, I don't really think in terms of what the Reds were actually going to do, it's going to change anything. The big question is Nick Martinez going to be ready? Let me first ask you this. Montas, Green, Ashcraft, Martinez, Abbott. Are those the five guys, if healthy?
Yeah, I think that's pretty solidified at this moment. As good as Martinez has pitched, and obviously you don't want to take too much of spring training into it, but he's getting paid a decent chunk of change. He wants to start. and he's kind of earned that opportunity a little bit. Like he's gone through it a little bit. He's a veteran, somebody that they trust. I'm sure that they really kind of want to anchor that, and he can eat innings as well. So yeah, I think he's probably R5 at the moment. Even I would say 4. You can order him however you want. It doesn't matter after the first game of the season. So yeah, I think those are our five pitchers to start the season starter wise.
If Nick Martinez can't go at the start of the season, Brandon Williamson can't go, would Connor Phillips be the next guy for you?
I would say Phillips or Spires. I think that they really like Spires. I think he shows really well too. So maybe it's like, hey, we want Connor Phillips to go keep developing. Not saying Carson Spires isn't still developing, but he's probably a little bit further along in his overall development as a pitcher. So I think he's an opportunity to kind of take that on there.
That's an interesting thought. And I mean, again, this is all really just placeholders till Nick Lodolo's fully ready to go. And I thought from Saturday, he looked pretty good overall. And I don't think it's going to be very long before he takes a rotation spot as long as he can stay healthy. I want to circle back, kind of jumping all over the place. Sorry, Bryce, but two guys that are still interesting to me, and I'm maybe reading between the lines here. The Reds are going to, it sounds like, go with the Benson Fairchild option in center field for now, but they do still have Jacob Herdebees and Blake Dunn. I'm assuming here with the Reds is they're going to try to see if the Benson Fairchild thing could work as a temporary Band-Aid till Friedel's back. But if for some reason that doesn't work, either one of those guys could be called up to the major leagues, and I think hold down center field for a few weeks.
I think so too. Especially, I mean, I think I'm maybe backed off of my Herdebees big league type comps a little bit. Not saying anything poorly on him, but I do think if the opportunity presented itself of maybe one of these guys are struggling or maybe one of them goes down, I think I would probably prefer to see Blake Dunn. I do think he's a little bit more advanced in like his ability to actually impact the game on like a power speed defense type basis, where I think Herdebees would more be like a fifth outfielder type bench roll, pinch run, kind of pinch hit in certain situations. So I think it depends on the situation, but yeah, I feel good about those guys being your, I guess, seventh, eighth, ninth outfielders on however you want to view that.
Let's talk about the bullpen before we kind of wrap up this conversation here today, Bryce. Obviously, it's a matter of who's all healthy and ready on opening day, and there's a lot of things that can happen with that, especially we're talking to a guy like Justin Wilson. Is he ready on opening day? I just don't know the answer to that at this point. I know you've kind of been following some of the more interesting guys that have been maybe overlooked a little bit, but maybe could sneak their way into a roster. Is there anyone in the bullpen that you like what you saw from spring? And obviously, I know you're not a big, I only look at spring trainings and stats. So a guy that you've liked that you saw in spring and also have liked some of the other stuff that he's done previously.
I think the one that's honestly probably stuck out the most is our old friend, Tony Santion. So he's a guy that I think they're even starting to trust a little bit more. I think he's pitching right after the starter tomorrow. So they want to see him in that kind of big league action, I guess you could say. So I think they're starting to gain a little bit more trust, and it's huge that they got him back on a minor league deal and he's looking healthy. So I think he's a guy to watch. I think the crazy part about the Reds bullpen is you're realistically probably going to see 11 to 15 guys down there at some point, and they're all going to be pretty good arms. So we're to the point now where the Reds are producing high-level bullpen arms similarly to some of these teams that we've envied for so many years. And it's such a good feeling, man. It's like you look at like a guy like TJ Antone, who in 2 years ago, we could have never in our wildest dreams imagined him pitching in AAA. But like there's a real possibility that he doesn't break camp with the team just due to the fact that he has options. So there's just certain things that go into building a good organization. And I think that having those arms that you're able just to churn and put out, and they produce and they have good stuff and they can strike people out, that's a very underrated quality that the Reds have kind of taken on here in the last couple of years.
I like the point on Santiago. I thought he looked really good on Saturday when I saw him. But I would like to see him maybe in a little more not high leverage role, but facing more major league hitters, because he's had a lot of these appearances against at the back end of the game, which, look, they're all outs against all, you know, professional hitters, but I would like to see a little bit more of that. All right, I know I'm going to wrap this up with this, Bryce. I know you weren't able to watch the spring breakout game because I think I heard for some reason it wasn't broadcast. I do have a bunch of video I got to upload onto Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. No free plug there. But what was your kind of overall thoughts on the spring breakout games and I guess maybe more the idea of it?
I think it's a phenomenal idea. But I think that unfortunately MLB doesn't advertise things in the best way or promote them in the best way. Like, how do you have this awesome event and then you don't even have a live stream for the second game or the first game? It's just like no offense to D3. I played Division III baseball, but we had a better stream than the one on against the Rangers. So, but man, it was a great idea. I thought it was awesome. Whoever thought of the idea should get a raise, but whoever produced the idea definitely does not deserve a raise. So, I think they'll improve on it, but that's the thing that MLB has to keep doing. They have to keep doing this type of thing. It was awesome seeing Jackson Holliday face Paul Skeens. Like, those are opportunities that you will probably rarely get, even in their big league career, just because those two teams never really see each other. So I loved watching it. I watched a lot of it over the weekend. I didn't have much to do all this weekend, so I got to watch Coby Mayo and those guys. I got to watch the Rangers guys. I got to watch the Reds guys. So it was really cool. It was like one of those things that you get to see all these guys in different spots throughout the year. You see them in Dayton, you see them in Chattanooga, or you see them in the complex, and now they kind of get to all come together. So I thought it was a great opportunity to kind of continue growing the sport with these young guys that are the future faces of the game.
Yeah, well, cool event in person for sure. I'd like to see maybe they do one of these at a major league stadium, because the minor league seasons usually don't start for like a week or several days after the big league. So maybe like the day before opening day or 2 days before opening day, hold one of these games at a major league stadium. Let the local fans come and see. I think that would be really cool. Oh, Bryce, you're the best. Really appreciate your time. And we'll catch up again soon. All right, tonight the Reds will take on the San Francisco Giants in Goodyear at 9:05 p.m. Eastern. For the Reds, Frankie Montas will be on the mound. Also scheduled to pitch, Sam Moll making his spring debut, Tony Santion, Brooks Kreske, Justin Wilson making his sort of Reds debut coming back, and Emilio Pagano. A lot of pitchers of note scheduled to pitch Monday night for the Reds. Reds will be going up against Kyle Harrison and Tyler Rogers, two of the scheduled pitchers for the Giants. Well, thanks so much for joining us today for Chatterbox Reds. Can't say enough again how much I appreciate all the support everyone continues to give this show. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you're listening to this podcast, make sure you do that now. New episodes 7 days a week for each of the Reds Cactus League games, recapping them. And of course, once the regular season gets going, this will be your home for Reds podcast the day after every single game, even on the weekends. So Saturday, Sunday morning, you don't have to wait until Monday to get your Reds podcast fix. And if you haven't yet left us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast, if you like what we're doing, I'd really appreciate if you did that. That really helps us out. Off the Bench on Chatterbox Sports is 10 a.m. to noon on YouTube, Monday through Friday, and on Monday morning, yours truly will be on the show, so be sure to check that out. So Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday, your home for all sorts of Cincinnati sports talk. Well, our Chatterbox road trip did come to an end, as mentioned, but we've got all kinds of content up on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. More still to come as we kind of get back and get some of this stuff uploaded and edited and all that. So be sure to follow us on each of our social platforms for all that content. Links to all of that is in the episode notes below. Links to Off the Bench in the episode notes below. Link to the Game Time app in the episode notes below. So check that out. Well, thanks as always for listening. I hope that you have a fantastic Monday. I hope your week goes great. And most importantly, go Reds.